look to see who it is. You don't see God as your only friend. You don't see that could be God in drag. You see who they think they are, and you respond to it. And so everybody is going into the personality realm, making it real, and then interacting. And then looking at each other. And when you think your personality is real, that's all you see when you look at other people. You don't see the other planes of consciousness. I like the image of the man in a rowboat rowing through the fog. And he hits another boat, and he screams at the other boatman, "Why don't you look where you're going?" And the fog clears for a moment, and there's nobody in the other boat. It was just floating. And you're left with, "Aah!" Because at that moment, the plane of consciousness shifted. There was nobody there. Well, imagine there isn't anybody anywhere. There's only one of us. There's just awareness. There's nobody. Who do you talk to? Can you and I enter into a dialogue knowing neither of us are real? Can we have needs without really thinking of them as who we are, where we're living? It seems to me that we come together through roles, through personality structures, through all these things. These are the vehicles through which we meet. These are the vehicles. The identification with the vehicle becomes a tremendous trap. And part of the yoga of relationship is to meet through the vehicle of all that stuff, but recognize that through the process of relationship, my relationship with you, let's find our way out of being trapped by that together. You help me and I'll help you. So that we can be in the roles in a kind of celebratory, free, playful way. I mean, take everything you're doing in your life, and instead of characterizing it now as need and pain and problem to be solved, like I used to be with Tim Leary, and the world would be falling apart, believe me. All the cars out in the parking lot would all be broken. These were new cars we had bought. The furnace would have exploded. We were in debt, everything. And I'd say, "Timothy, we have a problem." He'd say, "How many times do I have to tell you, Richard, we don't have a problem, we need a plan." And it was just like a little flip of consciousness. I mean, I've had a series of friends who have helped me escape from my own mind again and again. It's a great blessing to have them. I remember driving across the country with a friend once, and we were driving along, and I was busy being neurotic, getting somewhere and checking the oil and getting to the gorge, yeah. And we'd pass a store that would, the Grand Union supermarket, and he'd say, "Grand Union." I'm looking on the map to find out where we're going to have lunch, you know, and he's busy with Grand Union. But it would sink into my consciousness as if from a distance. It would slowly filter its way in until, "Oh, shit, man," you know. "Fly United." Merge. I mean, you do them all dead end. Just constantly flipping consciousness. I'm just playing with all of this stuff, so you just to think about relationship as yoga. I mean, my history of being a therapist and having clients was that during that time, my psychodynamics were such that I was so not resting in my being, but in a feeling of inadequacy, psychodynamic inadequacy that was fulfilled through proving myself through the world and in other people's eyes, something that I'm sure somebody here understands. When I finally got to be a therapist, I really needed to be a therapist. And I needed my patients to be patient. They were called patients in those days. And I needed to be curing them. I didn't need to cure them because then they'd leave me. And then I'd have to go find another one. So I needed them to be being cured and be deeply appreciative of how I was curing them. But I needed them to stay a patient. I mean, I was going to sit at the side of the desk with the knee hole, and I had the clipboard. I mean, you just think of this pathology now in terms of